Vacations can be a way to get away from it all, but if there's a book you want to take with you, Gail Forman's Leave Me recently came out in paperback. It's also about getting away from it all, but it's the hard way. Leave Me centers around Mary Beth Klein, an overcommitted 44-year-old mother of twins, barely balancing family and a job, and her husband Jason, who depends on her. Mary Beth does not feel well, but she's got to get to her accountant's office with those late tax returns. Then she really doesn't feel well, but how can she go to the doctor, the school, firmly tells her there is no aftercare. You have to pick up the kids. Well, she finally gets to the hospital where the doctor tries to tell her, what, she needs surgery or something? Mary Beth explains she has too much to do.
In the coming days, someone had to get the kids to their ballet classes, their soccer clinics, their speech therapy sessions, their play dates, their birthday parties, to take them shopping for their Halloween costumes, to the pediatrician for their flu shots, to the dentist for their cleanings. Someone had to plan the meals, pay the bills, balance the checkbook. Someone had to get it all done while still getting all the work done. Mary Beth sighed. It's just I have a house full of 4-year-olds and a very busy weekend. He stared at her for a long moment, frowning. Mary Beth looked back, disliking him already, and that was before he said, "You do realize you've had a heart attack."
Gail Forman, reading from her novel Leave Me. We spoke with Gail when the book was first published. It is personal for her.
Well, yes, the idea of it came about 5 years ago when I was on a family vacation with my 2 young daughters and my husband and our friends with their kids the same age. And it was this really wonderful vacation. We were at the beach and the girls were doing cartwheels out on the lawn and we're having these communal meals together, except that I'm hiding upstairs with my cell phone trying to get a signal to Google heart attack symptoms and when it's so bad, you should call the ambulance. And it wasn't just complete hypochondria. My mother had bypass surgery when she was 48, and it was kind of a shock to us all because she didn't have any of the risk factors aside from apparently some bad genetic luck.
Right.
And so it's always been in the back of my mind. And as I waited to, I didn't call an ambulance, which was very stupid, and people should actually call if they're in that situation. But when I finally saw a doctor and had a stress test while I was waiting for that to all happen, I was imagining, what if I did need the surgery that my mother had? It's a brutal surgery. And I had these 2 young kids. And who was going to take care of them? Because I worked from home and I was the default mom. And who was going to take care of me? And that terrified me. And it also made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I started the book really as a revenge fantasy, this idea of this mother who has a heart attack and in the aftermath, nobody's taking care of her and she runs away from home. Eventually, I went to the cardiologist and it was not my heart and the urgency sort of withered away. But then I picked up the book about 3 years later and Mary Beth was there very much as a character, but it took on a different dimension, you know, beyond the sort of revenge fantasy cri de coeur of the working mom.
Right. And it sure did, because you had another element. I want to get to that, but she, you know, people just heard you say, she what? She runs away from home. And here's where we wander into Kramer versus Kramer territory. That's the late 70s movie that shocked people because, you know, a notion that a mom, played by Meryl Streep, would abandon a dad, played by Dustin Hoffman, to go off and, well, we don't really know what she did.
Right.
Because your book is from the mom's point of view and that movie was from the dad's. Did you think of that, Kramer versus Kramer?
Absolutely. I mean, I thought of it in a lot of ways. I wondered if that movie would even get made today, number one. And number two, yes, absolutely, because you are with the father and you are with the son, and Meryl Streep seems very cold, and it all seems so incredibly selfish. At least that's what my childhood recollections of the film was, and I didn't want to rewatch it while I was working on the book. And here, I'm hoping that people, even if they find Mary Beth's actions unforgivable or shocking, they're also somewhat relatable and they're sympathetic to her.
You've added another layer. You talk about being conscious of your mom and that affected how you thought about your health. And so you were thinking about a possible heart attack because your mom had had one. You give us a character, Mary Beth, who's adopted and has no idea what her genes are.
Right. Has no idea and has told herself throughout her life that she doesn't really care and she doesn't need to kind of pull on that thread. But then when she has this heart attack, she doesn't understand how could this have happened. And did I do something wrong? And there's almost a need to find out, was there a genetic component? Although, you know, in the end, I don't think that's truly why she goes looking for her birth mother.
Well, she leaves an email at home with her husband saying, I've had it. And by the way, you mentioned briefly, I just want to fill it out a little more. The surgery is one thing, trying to figure out who's going to pick up the kids, you know, while I'm having a heart attack. But the recovery is almost impossible. Everybody's still, and this is a kind of an evolved husband. And she ends up, I mean, I was kind of going out of her mind for her, that she couldn't have a recovery. Did doctors tell you this happens? I mean, you researched this.
Doctors didn't need to tell me that happened. I've been in situations myself, whether it's recovering from a minor surgery or just, you know, I remember one day when my older daughter was a baby and I woke up in the middle of the night and my eardrum had burst and it was just horrible pain. And my husband had to go to work the next day and I was home alone with her. And just that, like, that feeling of, like, I just want to take care of myself, but I can't because I have to take care of this other human. And I had heard this fantasy that women have about hospital stays because it's like this one opportunity you have to go and take care of yourself and not even feel guilty about it because it's a medical necessity. But for Mary Beth, maybe the hospital stay is somewhat of a break. But getting home, she has sort of set it up so much. Everybody relies on her. Everybody is leaning on her so much that they just do not know how to be leaned on. And she does not know how to really ask for that help or accept it or feel entitled to it.
I think one of your characters even says, oh, yeah, the surgery to get mom, you know, out of the house for a little while. So there's that, some women, you know, begging to get into the hospital to get out of the house. But on the other hand, women not paying attention when they're obviously having a heart attack. I mean, when the film is made, and I'm betting it will be, I can just hear a narrator voiceover reading your words. And in fact, Mary Beth did not even know that at that moment, her heart tissue had begun to die from lack of oxygen.
You know, it's not obvious, though, with women. I think that's why heart attack is such a killer among women, because it doesn't necessarily feel like this. I think we all have this idea of this classic, like you have the pain in your left arm and you clutch it and then you pass out. And for a lot of women, it's just this sort of nausea that comes on, or it's this low-grade pain. And that combined with some of our tendency, my tendency, obviously, to rationalize it all away, it can be very dangerous.
Right. Well, she, as we said, does finally realize and then just runs away. She's had it and goes to Pittsburgh to find her birth mother. Obviously, you did some work here, too, about just how hard that can be, but the organizations that exist and the counselors that help.
Well, there was two elements of that. I mean, one of that is sort of a research that I did just as a mother. My youngest daughter is adopted, and I started to see, particularly with her, but I imagine that this is not uncommon, this emotional wound around why did my mother leave me? And even if you have an answer to that emotionally, I'm not sure you can ever have an answer to that. So then I started doing some research in Pittsburgh, and I called up one of the sort of oldest existing adoption agencies there, and had a woman there who helped me out and told me kind of all about the process there. And then there's sort of things that are real that you couldn't really make up, such as the fact that it's called the Orphans Court, which things like that are just so shocking that they could only be true.
Well, and this takes us back to how this is nothing like Kramer versus Kramer, because while she takes off, her husband, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's a very different story. He's more evolved, he's angry, he's upset, but there's some understanding.
I hope that readers will have a different view of Jason when they finish the book as when they start the book. And I think that, yes, he is indicative of husbands and fathers today, where they are much more involved. And yet there's still this sort of this gap and this expectation that the default parent and the worrier in chief and the person that just kind of carries the emotional load, who does the emotional work of the family, is still the mother. So Jason being who he is, when Mary Beth is not there, you kind of find out what happens, but you don't really know for most of the book because you are squarely with Mary Beth. So all you have are her fantasies and her fears about what's going on. And those range from everybody's falling apart to perhaps even worse, they're all doing fine without her.
Right. Perhaps even worse. Gail Forman, the book again is Leave Me. Gail, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Gail Forman, speaking with us last September, Leave Me is now out in paperback. And you might remember when we first aired the story, Cynthia Ravitsky heard it in Ohio and realized she was experiencing the symptoms that we were describing. So Cynthia drove herself to the hospital, found out she was indeed having a heart attack. You can hear that story at hearandnow.org. But we wanted to let you know, she tells us she's doing well. And if you're listening now, having those symptoms, follow her lead.